Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, October 21st, 2019. And today we're concerned with basically a follow-on discussion centering around the term democratic socialism. It is a very, very amorphous and sort of fluid term. It's a very squishy, difficult to define term by most, even its most ardent supporters and adherents like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Bernie Sanders. Why is it so difficult to define? And more importantly, where did it come from and why is it being used? And so in a conversation that closed our broadcast Thursday, October 10th, 2019, I was talking to Renee in North Carolina about this term, and I asked if she was aware that the Fabian socialists are adherents or they are proponents of democratic socialism. And for anyone who knows anything about the Fabian Society and its caustic effects around the world, the efforts to control people through Machiavellian intrigue and deception, it should come as a horrifying shock. I mean, if we understood what we used to learn in this country, that there was a reason that we made a separation that whole concept revolving around statements like when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. That we used to learn about that. Now, because of efforts like those of the Fabian socialists here in America, people have largely become global citizens, thinking globally and acting locally. Just little Fabian automatons or, you know, little wind-up toys of the Fabian society. So this term democratic socialism, it is a buzz term in America for the last few years, particularly because of the rise of the Justice Democrats. And again, anyone who doesn't know should investigate the Justice Democrats. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had some grassroots political involvement, but she certainly wasn't as polished. And many people have covered the fact that in her early days in Congress, she was stumped on several occasions. And as long as she sticks to the script, she's fine. But where does the script come from? And how did she come to be elected to United States Congress? And again, you just go to justicedemocrats.com and they openly brag about this to this day. There's the YouTube video that's featured on the Justice Democrats website. The title of the video, before Alexandria was known as AOC, there was a movement that recruited her to run. Well, what is the nature of the movement? Who's behind it? Who's supporting it? Who's funding it? Are these not important questions in America? At one point, it's my understanding that we were concerned about these things in America. I always go back to the Reese Committee, and during the congressional hearings, during the kind of the court proceedings, if you will, the congressional hearings of the Reese Committee back in the 50s, Thomas McNeice was the assistant director of research. I'm going to have to dig out my copy of the hearings at some point to quote him exactly. But he was asked during the proceedings, because we'd been hearing in America since around the era of the establishment of the Fabian Society, Woodrow Wilson was writing in academia before he was tapped as president that America would soon be ruled by experts. And that's what a technocrat is. An expert. But who decides who's an expert and who's not, and on what basis? Again, post-truth seems to come to mind. I'm less concerned about the objective facts concerning who is an expert and who defines what an expert is. And I'm more concerned with shaping public opinion by appeals to emotion and personal belief. That's post-truth, right? Less concerned about the objective facts, more concerned with a persuasive argument. So you end up with a circle of so-called experts pointing at each other. You know, everyone's pointing to the left, for instance, in a big circle. He's an expert. He's an expert. That's a fallacy of circular reasoning. But that's essentially what it is. So in America, it's my understanding, we used to be concerned about these things. So during the Reese Committee hearings, before Congress, when Thomas McNeice, the Assistant Director of Research for the Reese Committee, was asked, well, wouldn't you want? See, and just as a backdrop, again, the three key elements to this discussion, people that want to dispute this. In Peter Thiel's conversation with Tyler Cohen, over at George Mason University's Mercatus Center, Peter Thiel made that shocking statement back in 2015 that calling America a democracy or a constitutional republic is disingenuous. He said America is dominated by these very unelected technocratic agencies. That's what Peter Thiel said. I'm no Peter Thiel, but you know, he's a billionaire technocrat, Bilderberg steering committee member, and presidential advisor, co-founder of PayPal, Peter Thiel. So that's what he said. America is dominated by these very unelected technocratic agencies. I'm inclined to think, based on examining the landscape of over 400 agencies, and you know, again, for those who don't know, just maybe one other point of reference, the Administrative Procedure Act that was passed in 1946, Senator Pat McCarran said on the Senate floor, we have set up a fourth order in our tripartite plan of government, which was initiated by the founding fathers of our democracy. As Congress is passing the Administrative Procedure Act, the Senate Judiciary Chair was saying these words on the Senate floor. We have set up a fourth order in the tripartite plan of government, which was initiated by the founding fathers of our democracy. They set up the executive, the legislative, and judicial branches, but since that time we have set up a fourth dimension, if I may so term it, which is now popularly known as administrative in nature. So we have the legislative, the executive, the judicial, and the administrative. And he went on to say, if that's not shocking enough, and he was very literal, this was not hyperbole or metaphor or anything like that. You look at what touches the citizen these days. He explained that Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act, he said, Senator Pat McCarran, who was the Senate Judiciary Chairman at the time, he said, Senate Bill 7, the purpose of which is to improve the administration of justice by prescribing fair administrative procedure. What does that mean? He said, Senate Bill 7 is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. And I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, today in America, whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government? Therefore, the follow-up question is, which is your Bill of Rights? The first 10 amendments to the Constitution or the Administrative Procedure Act of 1946? I've been in court proceedings and seen this play out in a very literal way. I've talked about that on air in the past. I won't today. So the administrative fourth branch is where these 400 plus agencies are housed. And whoever remembers voting to elect anyone in the any of the administrative agencies, independent agencies, you can look up what Alan Greenspan said to Jim Lehrer on the NewsHour back in, what was it, 2007? That crazy statement, you know, when Jim Lehrer asked Alan Greenspan, what should the proper relationship between the Fed chair and the president be? And Alan Greenspan said, well, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, since the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, what the relationships are don't frankly matter. That's the bookends of his response. And so that's a pretty shocking statement. Greenspan examines Federal Reserve mortgage crunch. That was that entry. September 18, 2007. So Alan Greenspan said that about independent agencies, and I usually refer folks to R.J. Pistrito's Birth of the Administrative State, where it came from and what it means for limited government, where Pistrito quotes Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, which was published in 1994 in the Harvard Law Review. So anyway, back to the entries. Technocracy, what's the concern? Well, and speaking of what Peter Thiel said, America is today dominated by these very unelected technocratic agencies. So what does that portend? Well, from the Wikipedia entry for technocracy movement under the section titled Technocrats Plan, it reads, in a publication from 1938, Technocracy, Inc., the main organization made the following statement in defining their proposal. Technocracy is the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population of this continent. How will this be done? Technocracy will distribute by means of a certificate of distribution available to every citizen from birth to death. In other words, someone's going to decide for you from birth to death what you can have, what you can do. I mean, there's so much literature that came to us over the course of the 20th century in particular, not to mention going back to our own history here in America, that should have people recoiling in horror at these words. And the more troubling aspect to me of this is that, again, the more ardent the technocrats become, the more they adopt a loathsome disdain for their fellow man. Technocracy wants everything to be neat and tidy and clean, which is why you see in American society back in the 1960s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, coming forward through the interstate highway system era, for example, when advertising hadn't really kicked into its shiny, polished, steely, monolithic era that it is now. You had the hand-painted signs in local businesses and things. Handmade, hand-painted signs. My grandparents, who owned a laundromat for about 30 years, used to have high school students, art students, make the signs. And it was a huge badge of honor to be able to make signs in the laundromat. I got to do that a couple of times. I remember being, you know, that was a huge badge of honor. I just wanted to do that for the longest time. And that used to be something that we all appreciated. And today, by contrast, you look at the marketing that's going on. Where is the local business? Where are the local community stores that are not being swallowed up by the Walmarts, the Walgreens, the Home Depots and Lowe's and so forth, these large conglomerates, which gets back to the section of Patrick Porter's Market Security State piece that I was reading, and the oligopolistic domination of the American economy. So technocrats have a loathsome disdain for their fellow man because man is messy and error-prone, inefficient, whereas machines and math and things are all neat and tidy and perfect, essentially. At least that's what the technocrats believe, whether inherently or consciously. That's the prevailing mindset they tend to adopt. And therefore, they start to advocate for technology and government policies and things that really sort of start to get rid of people. And if you're watching, you can see it. You can see the effectual outworking of that in society in places where they have the self-checkout stands. I keep asking, you know, if you're going to check a U-Haul in yourself, or you're going to scan your own groceries at the grocery store, do you get some kind of a rebate? Are you on the payroll now everywhere you go? Are you getting paid like Sebastian Maniscalco says? Am I suddenly an employee at the grocery store since I am doing my own checking and bagging? And that's just, and it's, I think it's even more sad when we see folks being trained at the grocery store to train their own replacements. In other words, the customers checking themselves out. So you have store employees essentially training their own replacements, which are the customers checking themselves out. And of course, that will be done away with if technocrats have their way in a few short years, because we've already seen the commercials 10 years ago of people running out of the store with a trench coat full of stuff, and the security guard follows the guy out. And the security guard says, "You forgot your receipt." It's a psyop, essentially, to twist your thinking around and get you to consider something that you otherwise wouldn't. And there are a number of variants, obviously, that try to have people suspend their disbelief and play on things like cognitive bias and normalcy bias. Anyway, the technocrats intend to, just as they've been saying for 80 plus years now, scientifically engineer the entire social mechanism, all of society. Sounds patently un-American to me. And people might say, well, you know, we have a resource crisis, we have this, we have that. Well, I understand, but first you need to go investigate, you know, what the Club of Rome has written, for example, the first global revolution is a good place to start. And that was based on that paper, The Limits of Growth. You know, and you start to understand these talking points that have been smithed to get people to believe a certain thing. Then you roll out things like Agenda 21 and Agenda 23. It's scary. And relates to the same efforts the Fabian Society has been pushing over 100 years. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
back. So, what is the point of all of this? I mentioned the technocrats. There's a little bit of background for those not familiar. And again, there is so much more to all of this. I mean, we're just sort of scratching the surface on a few of these things. We're really just barely touching the surface on so many of these topics. I'm trying to give an overview, though, as a backdrop to a point. So, I mentioned the technocrats and this idea of, you know, again, one of the best explanations of socialism, a practical explanation of socialism and how it operates to me is given to us by Friedrich Hayek in The Road to Serfdom. Chapter 2, The Great Utopia, he talks about how socialism has always been, frankly, authoritarian from its roots. And the problem is that you have planners, and Henry de Saint-Simon was very unabashed in his admission that those who did not obey his planning boards would be treated as cattle. And the problem always comes at the moment of truth where the rubber meets the road and planning has to become executing. You can plan all you want, but when do those plans go into effect? And we've adopted this mindset in America as long as it's, you know, as long as it's, again, what the herd thinks, as long as we have some sense of consensus. Well, we've reached consensus in at whatever level, whether it's a PUD, a township, a state, we've reached consensus, and therefore this is a good idea. So planning then becomes executing. But how many folks are injured? And we have been inculcated into this collectivist mindset that says that the individual doesn't matter or have any sort of identity apart from the collective or the herd, which again is a logical fallacy. There could be no group without the individual. But we live in a society where we are conditioned to behave in this very sort of feudalist fashion, really abusing one another. I mean, when you think about it, you can watch some of the old movies, from the golden age of film, for example, and you can see things like, you know, in some of those old westerns, you can see the way a community, you know, the depiction and portrayal of the way a community used to come together and build a house together. Imagine how inexpensively we could build a house for one another if we all pitched in and even just had like a drying in party. We created a shell and maybe we came back and we had a drywall party later. We help you get your, I know that it's a more sophisticated structure today, but imagine if the community showed up, all of your friends and neighbors and family, and we all helped you get your framed structure dried in. And then maybe we came back and we had a drywall party, something like that. And you finished texturing and obviously furnishing and things like that. Imagine what we could do. And probably the specialty trades, you know, electrical, plumbing, and so forth, might hire those out. Imagine what a difference it would be. We would be, you know, the social engineers tell us man is a gregarious creature by nature. Why have we allowed ourselves to get away from gathering together to help one another in that sort of fashion, and instead gravitated more toward taking advantage of one another? Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs.
I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
All right, welcome. Welcome back. An extended musical interlude, but it's Frank Sinatra, so, you know, we can bear it. So technocracy is defined as a government or social system controlled by technicians, especially scientists and technical experts. So the as I understand it, the Rees Committee hearings, you know, and you have to go back and understand what was happening, the progressive era of the early 20th century. Again, Woodrow Wilson in academia before becoming president wrote that America would soon, in the 1880s, he was writing that America would soon be ruled by experts. And the beginnings of this technocratic society identified by groups like the Fabian Society were starting to take shape. Again, you know, books like Edward Bellamy's Looking Backward, a heavily plagiarized work, Looking Backward, 2000 to 1887, a utopian novel by Fabian socialist Edward Bellamy. And the Wikipedia entry for the book Looking Backward includes these words: in the United States alone, over 162 Bellamy clubs, quote unquote, sprang up to discuss and propagate the book's ideas. Owing to its commitment to the nationalization of private property and the desire to avoid use of the term socialism, this political movement came to be known as nationalism, which again is where you get the effort by his cousin Francis Bellamy, who was credited with the Pledge of Allegiance. People don't understand how that was that same incrementalist strategy to move us from our rugged individualist mindset and a union of several states, which is what America originally was, a union of several states, and not the United States of America Incorporated like it is and is thought of today. So the sense of nationalism, Fabian socialists like Edward Bellamy were instrumental in inculcating America into. And now, again, I mean, it should be an eye-opening and provocative realization to go to the Pledge of Allegiance Wikipedia entry. And I mention Wikipedia only because it's a very pedestrian source of information, not something that any of us, I think, could say is a conspiracy blog or anything like that. So if you go to the Wikipedia entry for the Pledge of Allegiance today, I'm looking at the section titled Salute. And it reads, in 1892, Francis Bellamy created what was known as the Bellamy Salute. And there's a link to that. And you can open that link, Bellamy Salute. Bellamy Salute is a palm-out salute described by Francis Bellamy, the author of the American Pledge of Allegiance, as the gesture which was to accompany the pledge. During the period when it was used with the Pledge of Allegiance, it was sometimes known as the flag salute. Both the pledge and its salute originated in 1892. Later, during the 20s and 30s, Italian fascists and Nazi Germans, National Socialist Germans, which sounds like what the Fabian Socialists were, they were National Socialists, adopted a salute which was very similar and which was derived from the Roman salute. Again, you have to go back and do your homework. A gesture that was popularly, albeit erroneously, believed to have been used in ancient Rome. This resulted in controversy over the Bellamy salute in the United States. It was officially replaced by the hand over the heart salute when Congress amended the flag code on December 22, 1942. So those are some fun facts. But to go to the Wikipedia entry for the Pledge of Allegiance, to click on the Bellamy salute link and to see with one's own eyes, this looks strikingly similar, in fact, indistinguishable from the Nazi salute, should get people thinking and asking questions. Maybe we're just too busy these days. Maybe we've been too dumbed down. Maybe we've been too inculcated into learned helplessness. Maybe we've already lost this war of attrition that folks like Frank Podmore advocated in the Fabian Society. You know, a protracted battle, a war of attrition, rather than pitched and climactic battles. Who has time? This is why, when you understand how people like this think, this is why I always think of the infamous words of Aldous Huxley. We in America today are, you know, speaking of Richard Grove over at Tragedy and Hope, he has that video where he talks about the article. It was a Microsoft article, I want to say 2013. The average attention span of the average American is somewhere around 8 seconds, just 1 second less than a goldfish. And not to be too condescending, the point is that we are encouraged to behave in an increasingly juvenile and not adolescent. I can't think of the word. Starts with an I. It escapes me. Anyway, an immature sort of fashion in America. Generally speaking, we're not supposed to be intellectuals, you know, and that gets back to, you know, I think of the job that James Corbett did with his Big Oil series, How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World. Those who haven't seen that, from 2017 already, that was 2 years ago. I can't believe it. Two parts, How Big Oil Conquered the World and Why Big Oil Conquered the World. Go to Corbett with two T's, CorbettReport.com/Big Oil, and watch that. But you know, people in America don't understand, speaking of history and a longer attention span than 8, 9, 10, 20 seconds, 20 minutes, we forget that Thomas Jefferson's bill for the general diffusion of knowledge was a brilliant idea, and there was something markedly different. You know, to contrast that, Jefferson's bill for the general diffusion of knowledge, with what I would say Horace Mann hijacked in the mid-1800s and what has become public education now, the contrast is so different. It's like looking at the folks a generation or two ago who said, oh, sweetie, you're so much smarter than I. You've gone through 12 grades of school and you're going into college and whatever, and I only made it through the 8th grade. Yet these folks were smart enough to run a township. If they were passing their 8th grade education, they were smart enough to run their local township. And today we're encouraged to believe that we're supposed to leave that kind of thing to the experts. Again, this term experts. And in the Reese Committee hearings, the congressional hearings, the word expert or experts appears some 140 plus times. And so, speaking of leaving all of this, leaving the government and everything to experts, James Corbett included in his Big Oil series the quote from Frederick Taylor Gates, who was a Baptist minister, that, as James Corbett pointed out, Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller, befriended in the same era, 1889, and who would go on to be John D. Rockefeller's most trusted philanthropic advisor. And Frederick Taylor Gates wrote a short tract titled The Country School of Tomorrow. And people don't understand in America how much, speaking of the Reese Committee investigating the Rockefeller Foundation, for example, how much effort was given to studying small communities, for example. And there was an effort to study small communities in Montana, for example, to understand what makes these small communities tick. Why? For the effort of changing them over time. And I was thinking about it over this past weekend, just as an example, as a brief aside. What is uniquely American in your community, for example? I mean, I was born in Montana. There used to be some things. There used to be art. There used to be a pride. And of course, America has a storied history of controversy. I'm not setting that aside. I'm not trying to romanticize history. But I am saying that there was a point where there was a pride, a sense of community, and things that were uniquely or considered uniquely American, uniquely Montanan. As we look around now, wherever you call home, what is uniquely, you know, ascribed to your community? What is uniquely American today? And to think that we've been inculcated into a mindset of constant change, I can't help but be reminded of Santayana's words from The Life of Reason. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. And after those words, he wrote, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And not just repeat it, but repeat the worst of it. And we have a history through the course of the 20th century that is something we should remember lest we run the risk of repeating it. R.J. Rummel wrote the book on the subject, Death by Government, literally, Death by Government, Genocide and Mass Murder is the title of the book. 262 million people died in the course of the 20th century at the hands of government, according to R.J. Rummel's research. Extensive research. And that figure could certainly be, that's a modest figure, shall we say. I believe that's what it is. 262 million. Which is not a good history. So back to James Corbett's quote of Frederick Taylor Gates from the Country School of Tomorrow. People don't realize we've been inculcated to, you know, there was a time in this country when people, imagine how many big box stores would go away if everyone was growing their own food, growing their own tobacco, making their own moonshine, building one another's houses. I'm not advocating for anything in particular, trying to encourage people to do things that are illegal. That's a whole different discussion. The point is simply to say, to illustrate how entirely anemic and helpless we've been socially engineered to become over a period of generations. And I think that correlates directly to the sense, the growing sense of self-loathing each successive generation seems to have in this society today. You go back to the World War II generation and before, they didn't seem to be plagued by a pervasive sense of self-loathing, not from what I could tell. I wouldn't consider myself an expert on the subject, but I did have some firsthand knowledge of that generation, and I've had firsthand knowledge of subsequent generations. It seems that there is a growing sense of self-loathing, and it seems to correlate directly to the growing sense of what I would call general inadequacy or helplessness. Not being able to do things and provide for ourselves other than in the ascribed manner. Who's growing their own food? You know, maybe we should play that Hank Williams Jr. song. country folks can survive. Where are the country folks today in America? So as James Corbett points out from Frederick Taylor Gates' The Country School of Tomorrow, the plan for education, this was what the Reese Committee was investigating. Sentiments like this, you have people writing things like this, and it's shocking. It's even more shocking when you realize this is where we are today in America. Talk more when we come back. Stick around.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. So, speaking of Mr. Frederick Taylor Gates, the pal, the most trusted philanthropic advisor of John D. Rockefeller, and his Country School of Tomorrow, published in 1913, from the publications of the General Education Board, because Frederick Taylor Gates was at the time the chairman of the General Education Board, which was a dubious title and distinction, I would say. The country school of tomorrow, in which young and old will be taught in practicable ways how to make rural life beautiful, intelligent, fruitful, recreative, healthful, and joyous. And so we talked about the problem, the miseries of rural life, for example, and a vision of the remedy. And in his vision of the remedy, he wrote, "Is there aught of remedy for this neglect of rural life? Let us at least yield ourselves to the gratifications of a beautiful dream that there is." Whose dream is it? Is this the dream of the folks in rural America? No, this is the dream of, it's actually the scheme of schemers who live in ivory towers but don't like the messiness of rural America and want to control people. And that's a bigger discussion for another time. So what is the dream? Frederick Taylor Gates wrote, "In our dream, we have limitless resources, and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hand. The present educational conventions fade from our minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work our own goodwill upon a grateful and responsive rural folk." I guess goodwill is a relative term. "We shall not try to make these people or any of their children into philosophers or men of learning or of science. We are not to raise up from among them authors, orators, poets, or men of letters. We shall not search for embryo great artists, painters, musicians, nor will we cherish even the humbler ambition to raise up from among them lawyers, doctors, preachers, politicians, statesmen, of whom we now have ample supply. We are to follow the admonitions of the good apostle who said, 'Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low degree.' And generally, with respect to these high things, all that we shall try to do is just to create presently about these country homes an atmosphere and conditions such that if by chance a child of genius should spring up from the soil, that genius will surely bud and not be blighted. Putting therefore all high things quite behind us, we turn with a sense of freedom and delight to the simple, lowly, needful things that promise well for rural life." It's the socialist clarion call to give you, you know, to the freedom from want, which translates to the freedom of need, which is, again, logical fallacy of equivocation in this case. Stick around, third hour coming up. Be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.